Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine Taylor-Klaus, and this is Wednesday, January 1st, 2017. Blows me away that it's 2017. And this is the first, I guess this is our first week of PSS calls for the new year. So it's a great day for us to be talking about tone of the home. Great way to start the year and set the tone. So I know we may have a few more people that are joining us, but let's go ahead and start with check-ins and taking aim so that we can use our time most effectively for those of you who are here. And I do want to tell you, if you have your workbook in front of you, we do have a Tone of the Home Wheel of Life. So we do have a little exercise that we can do today. So if you have your workbook near you, you may want to check it out or print it out. It's on page 35 and 36. So let's start with check-ins. What's going on for people? Who's here and how's the world? Mark or Julie, what do y'all want to start us?
Yeah, this is Julie. A busy holiday season and lots of illnesses and all that drama, you know, just stuff. At home, Logan was sick over this last weekend, and he has been particularly grumpy and particularly disrespectful. And so I'm looking forward to working on some of that today. Having that in my mind.
Great. Do you have a sense of where you want to take aim?
With the disrespect that I don't know how to specifically narrow it in right now.
Okay. That's fine. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Who else?
This is Liz. And my son, Dylan, last week turned 8. He had a great holiday. Thank you. Yep. He had a good holiday, and he did pretty well, but it was a lot of time at home. I was home with him the whole time because I'm a teacher, so I had the same vacation week. So that was, for me, a little bit challenging to keep him busy the whole time. He has to be constantly entertained.
A lot of togetherness.
But it was just a little too much togetherness sometimes, but We worked our way through it. The issues that I was having mainly with Dylan were around fighting with his sister, his younger sister. In some respects, she's almost 3 years younger, but in some respects, she's at his level. So
yeah.
They're very competitive now all of a sudden, and that's become kind of a challenge, separating them when they get, you know, at each other.
Okay. Cool. And does it sound like an area you want to take aim?
Yeah, I think that's probably the area for this week. Again, and I think it goes along with setting the tone of the home because I don't want it to be, you know, a home that's filled with conflict, and I want
right.
the kids to be, you know, calm and happy, and so...
So often the question I ask is, what's the change you want to see? If the challenge you're facing is sort of what feels like a non-healthy competition, what's the change you want to see?
I guess just having the kids get along better, and being able to, I need to be able to manage the situation when it escalates.
So those are sort of two different things, right? And
okay.
So what I'm how to respond when it escalates.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is what I'm hearing. Okay.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Cool. And I didn't ask you this, Julie. I'll come back to you. But Liz, you got any celebration you want to start the year with? It sounds like you said you had a good holiday.
Yeah. I mean, my son and you know, well, both my kids are just, you know, surrounded by a really wonderful and supportive family. And I think that Dylan, my in particular, loves his family. He loves spending time with them. And so seeing him happy over Christmas was, for me, a joy.
Awesome. Beautiful. So. Thank you. Okay, so all in all, back in school, a little bit of competition and fighting with SIBS, wanting to respond to it better when it escalates, and the holidays were joyful.
Yeah.
Lovely. Julie, can I pop back to you to just sort of bring you to celebration for a moment?
Yeah, sure. I had some extra time off during the holiday, and so I got to spend some days at home with the kids that I wouldn't normally get to, just chilling around the house. And I enjoyed just having no agenda and not having to run all the errands and stuff like that, like I normally have to do on my days off. So it was really nice.
Awesome. Beautiful. And Sherry or Mark, one of you two.
Well, mine is the same as Julie, so okay.
Yeah. Okay. Celebration. We did have a long break also, about 2.5 weeks, and it was great. We only had two breakdowns. One was Christmas night. I like to talk that up since it's travel and Christmas. So that's a celebration. And I think I'll use my sibling conflict as my want to take aim too. It's not the conflict. The change I want to see is when it starts to get physical. That happened last night, and so that's where I want to see where I can help my son in that situation.
Okay, and just for the conversation, ages of the kids, because I know Liz's kids are like roughly 8 and 5. What are yours?
Eight and 10. They're 22 months apart, 9 and 11 really. So they're, and the competition is similar to your, or the other person, I missed the name, but
to Liz's, yeah,
and I've learned recently that my son told someone he was jealous of my daughter, and she's has seen him be supportive of her, but she's super good athletically, so that, I mean, is causing him some grief. But this wasn't even athletics; this is just her annoying him. So,
and who's younger?
My daughter is younger. My son with ADHD is the fifth grader.
Yep, got it. Okay, just making sure. Okay. And Mark, I hear you say similar issues to Julie. What were you? What are you celebrating?
Spending a lot of time playing games with the kids has been nice. We got a new game called Otrio. It's like tic-tac-toe, but with rings, and it's pretty cool. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, just quiet time like that, watching movies, hanging out. Been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hanging out is nice.
Yeah. Oh, and Melvin's been taking apart a lot of things, which I like. He's asking for old computers and sewing machines, and he's just taking things apart and organizing screws and motors, and so we're working on taking things apart to build something. We don't know, but we have a plan to do something.
Awesome. I love it. There's so much creativity there.
Yeah.
When my kids were little, I used to keep what we called a junk box.
Yeah.
And it was just literally a cardboard box where we would throw, you know, spiral binders or, you know, loose clips or, you know, cool cardboard packaging from you know, packages or just anything that seemed like it could be interesting to make something with it, and we would keep it in the box. And then when they would, you know, say that inevitable I'm bored, it's like, why don't you go to the junk box and see what you can make? And it was fascinating what they would come up with.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, Logan's not much in the creating mode. He's in the destroying mode right now. But at some point,
well, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
You got to break it down and build it up. It's all good. Look, my daughter used to take apart socks, and there wasn't a lot she could do with the thread. So at least he's taking apart somewhere the pieces are remaining.
Yeah.
what we're going to talk about today, which is tone of the home. And tone of the home is one of those interesting topics because it's not really a coaching tool. It's not really a strategy per se, but it has absolutely been one of the most useful tools in my parenting toolbox over my years. And I've heard that from a lot of other parents as well. There's something about really like being conscious and mindful of what the role is that we're playing in our kids, in the environment that our kids are raised in, that they're coming into. And what I think, and recognizing that we have the power to set that tone, whether, you know, some people have loud houses with lots of activity and lots of movement and lots of noise, and some people have really quiet houses. You know, some people have, there's a lot of anger and yelling in their house, and some people there's a lot of laughter and giggling and wrestling in their house. And so this is really about thinking about what's important to you. And as a parent, what kind of environment you do want to create in your home. You know, and when I started paying attention to this years ago, it started with asking the question, my husband and I had this conversation about when we look back on our kids' childhood, when they look back on their childhood, what do we want them to remember from the home they were raised in? Do they want them to remember that mom was always stressed out and yelling? Or do they want them to remember that no matter how crazy things got, we could always roll around on the floor and giggle? And that setting that intention of the kind of tone we wanted to create gave us the opportunity then to find different ways to do that. And sometimes we were more successful than others. But it was really about it really starts with setting the intention. So when early on in this process, I created this Tone of the Home Wheel of Life to give you a sense of looking at all of the different pieces that go into creating the tone in our homes. So do you guys have it in front of you or have access to it? It's okay if not.
Yes.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
Let me ask it differently. Does anybody not have access to it right now?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, so I'm going to call out the words for you, Mark, and you can write it down. And
Mark,
those people can...
Mark, it's on the kitchen counter, or it was this morning.
Awesome. So it's on page 36. So for those people who are listening or who have the, you know, your workbook journal in front of you, pages this week is 35 and 36, and the Tone of the Home Wheel is on 36. And just a reminder, a wheel of life is not, this is not a prescription, it's not a good or bad, it's sort of a snapshot, a moment in time of how are you doing, what's your level of satisfaction with each of these areas of your family life, knowing that if you did this exercise next week, the answers would be different from if you did it last week, right? And so it's not a solid answer. It's just a framework for you to begin to look at the issues. So there are eight areas that sort of we identified as part of what creates the tone of the home. And Mark, if you can't find the workbook, just write these down. They are noise level, emotionality. So noise level obviously is, you know, is it a loud house? Is it a quiet house? Is there, you know, always noise on in the house? You know, some people have the television or the radio going all the time. Is it a quiet house? Emotionality is about that issue of how are people in the family managing their emotional selves. Physicality is, you know, are we a touching house? Are we a hugging house? Are we a wrestling house? Are we, you know, do we not really touch each other much in this house? Like, where does that come in? Sense of teamwork is, you know, are we working together as a team? Do we feel like we're on the same page or on the same team? And that speaks really to a lot of the issues that have come up today as we're taking aim. So we'll come back to that, I'm sure. Time spent, are we each going into our own separate places or are we hanging out, spending time together as a family? Visual aesthetic, you know, is the house feeling, does it feel well enough put together, trying not to get the perfection game in here, but, you know, are things okay and fairly well organized, or is it, you know, is it pretty enough to feel comfortable in the space, or is it, you know, overly cluttered and make you crazy all the time? Where are you with that? Shared responsibility is really, is everybody taking a role in what it takes to keep a family going and a household going? And maybe that's about you and your partner. Maybe it's about, are the kids participating? That will be different for different people. And the last one is spirituality. You know, and that's going to be very different for different people. For some people, that's religion. For some people, it's not. But sort of, are you bringing whatever that approach to the world is that's important to you into your family dynamic in some way? So I want to ask you each to take a moment and just evaluate your level of satisfaction with each of these areas of the tone of the home. Where are you right now in terms of each of them? Draw a line across, you know, we've done this before, on a scale of 1 to 10. 0 is not happy with it in the center. 10 is, we're just doing great on the outside. And draw the lines to get a sense of where your satisfaction is in terms of the tone of your home. And just when any of you or someone is done, let me know so I have some clue that y'all are ready. I'll give you as much time as you need.
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm all set.
Awesome. Great. So this is a great opportunity to go into conversation and debrief that a little bit. What's coming up for you in terms of what does or doesn't get included in tone of the home, and what did you notice on your own wheel?
For me, this is Julie. I don't find that any of them are really close to a 10, and that's sort of enlightening. Well, I guess it's not a huge surprise, but it's disappointing. So it's something that we certainly I do see some things that I feel like are improving, like our visual aesthetic. We've been doing some cleaning projects, and so that and I've kind of tried to make a commitment in my mind to keep the house tidier on a consistent basis, so that is improving. But there's a lot of things, like the noise level is probably a 1, if that. It's interesting.
Okay, so is a 10, do you think a 10 is realistic in a whole bunch of these?
No, but I think my satisfaction with it, so whether the house is loud or quiet, am I happy with how it is?
Right.
And it's probably not realistic that everything is perfect all the time. That's not real life, but definitely not where I want to be.
Okay. Yeah, that's reasonable. So there's this sense where it's and what I'm hearing is what's mostly not landing for you right now is tone of the, is noise. Anything else that sort of jumps out at you?
The emotionality and there's just I think that's the ADHD intensity, and
yeah.
That really affects that a lot in our house.
Right. And just curious, was your tendency to say, okay, where is it low that I want to work on? I'm just curious, did anybody look at it and say, oh, well, this one's pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about how that this one is higher than I thought it might be.
I think physicality is, not this is Liz, I think physicality, we're very like, you know, always being very, you know, demonstrative of our affections towards the children. So I think that was higher than I thought it would be.
Uh-huh. Cool. Anybody else?
But then, yeah.
Or anything else? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the ones I was more concerned with were the sense of teamwork and emotionality.
Okay. So just curious for most of you, did these sound, feel like the right issues in terms of what goes into creating the tone of your home?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Anything missing for anybody?
I don't know if sibling rivalry may fit within emotionality, so that's just a
and in teamwork, I think, too. Yeah.
Yes. It would go there.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty representative. I can't think of anything else.
Okay. So what are you noticing about your role in whatever you're noticing, whether the numbers are low or high? What do you have to do with it?
A lot in my house. I mean, I've just noticed a difference since I've started paying closer attention to how I react.
Mm-hmm.
And that can escalate or de-escalate. I mean, it doesn't always de-escalate, but it can certainly make any situation that we're challenged with worse. And, you know, my husband isn't here on the calls, but he is listening more and open more to this, you know, how ADHD is really affecting our lives and
mm-hmm.
how, I don't know, I'm getting off track.
not really. I mean, I think it is on track. That so there's more, as you have more awareness, it sounds like it's shifting your reactions, your behaviors.
It is.
And so
and
what do you notice is different? What's different in your home when that happens?
Well, my son calms down faster without question. And if I can walk away from a situation, which I can't always, I mean, I'm not saying I'm
right,
but you know, he calms down faster. And then often he comes and says, and I think I've mentioned this on a call before, and I don't think I guess it's important to me that he recognizes he may say, I'm sorry sometimes. And it's not necessary. I don't require that of him, but that shows me how real this is for him, that it's not always just defiance and being a little brat. It's, I'm struggling, I'm triggered, and he doesn't have the words for that, but it helps. It helps me manage it. It helps me just exist day to day. Bye.
Well, and what I'm hearing and what you're saying is not only is it helping you, but it's helping him take responsibility without pushing back.
Yes.
Right? I mean, when you stand there and you say to a kid, now apologize, how authentic is that really?
Not at all.
Right. But when he comes, when he's thought about it and he comes back and he's apologizing, what's happening for him?
Awareness. I mean, he's recognizing. And, you know, he mentioned recently, and I don't think I've talked about triggers a lot, but a few weeks ago, a month ago, he threw down his controller and, you know, and then just last week he said something about trigger. I don't know if that was the right word, but I thought, wow, he's getting more of it, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me happy.
Yeah. So he's got some increasing awareness.
Yeah.
And a little more ownership.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's responding when you don't. He's responding better when you're not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is there any part of this tone of the home that you can point to and say, I'm reacting better because I'm paying attention to this? Maybe not. I'm just curious.
Yes. Well, any one of these eight items?
Yeah, or something else. Just whatever.
Just, I don't know. The only thing I can come up with is a time when I didn't recently. You know, when I didn't. But
yeah, no, that's perfect.
I can't. Then it happened to be, you know, a comment even had to do with my mother-in-law. So that adds a whole other layer of stuff. But he was like, Mom, now you're just being rude. And I got so mad. I was like, wow, he's not on my side. You know, I'm his mother.
And, you know, the next day I did it, I was like, I am your mother. You know, and I didn't bring it up, but it was such shame and guilt and totally probably not even what I should have done to my 10-year-old. But, and I thought, why did I do that, you know? So
when you noticed that, how did you handle it?
Well, I didn't, you know, I just thought about it. You know, I didn't go back to him and say, well, here's the reason I said I'm your mother the next day and blah, blah, blah. But just, you know, it's been sitting with me for the past couple of days of how I could readdress it with him without getting into, you know, topics that a 10-year-old just doesn't understand. You know, but to really try to address it on a level of you can love somebody and still have challenges. You know, not telling him my mother-in-law's manipulative, or you know, trying to be a good person.
Right.
So, you know, that's what I have to think about. It's made me for the past couple of days say I'd like to have some conversation to where he doesn't think I hate my mother-in-law because she's a great person and helpful and loves the kids, and I love that relationship. You know, the same thing. He thrives on seeing family and cousins. So. And, you know, I don't really know where to go with it without just saying sometimes people make you cry. You know, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's something where, you know, I didn't yell it. It wasn't the worst self that I could have been in that situation. But I really was like, you know what, you shouldn't have done that. I kind of guilt and shamed him, and I don't like when people do that to me. So.
Mm-hmm. So here's what's coming for me as you say this, is this, you know, I always like to look at a dynamic and when there's an opportunity to fail forward, right, and to say, okay, what worked,
mm-hmm.
what didn't work, and what would I do differently? And so you're sort of identifying here what does work, what doesn't work, and so beginning to think about how do you want to handle it differently, right?
Yeah.
And it brings me back to your challenge around the sibling conflict. So what's the opportunity in your learning to address the sibling conflict that you're seeing in your family?
Well, I'm hoping here I have the right answer, but, you know, I think...
Wait, I'm going to stop you, Cher. I'm going to stop you because you know there's no right answer, right?
I know. I'm teasing.
Okay.
But, of course, that's what my mom's telling me.
Yep.
I think primarily... that there's always going to be sibling rivalries. There's always going to be the potential that they don't get along, that they feel that one's loved more than the other. It's normal in every family, I think.
Yep.
So that's one thing. And that's the same thing with conflict with in-laws. There's always the potential for it to be there, and there's a whole big... you know, lifetime full of stuff that gets you to this place where, you know,
yep.
her issues with me may not necessarily always be directly with me. I'm just the easiest target. And it's same the other way. You know, my issues with her have a lifetime worth of baggage that can go along with it. It's not that, not one thing. There's a whole, it's not black and white.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot more to it. Not black and white isn't going to mean anything to my children when I explain it that way. But just that conflict happens, but you can still love someone,
mm-hmm.
be in relationship with them, and still get upset about things.
Yeah.
And it's how you handle
the other
it.
Thing, that I was going to say, and the next step is it's not whether you get upset or disappointed or frustrated with somebody you love, because that's pretty normal to expect that that's going to happen. But how you handle it and how you treat it is something that's in your control.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And what I hear you saying is you were frustrated, but you don't really love how you handled it, and you would do it differently in another time, right?
Yes.
And the opportunity for your kids when it comes to, you know, to their conflict is that sometimes they're going to get upset with each other. The question is, how do they handle it? Because part of what your issue is you don't want it to get physical, right?
Yes. And I have a real tough little girl, so it's kind of normal that she likes to be physical too, but it's not just her. You know, he gets
He's a boy with ADHD and you know, emotions that get out of control. So he gets rough. She doesn't start crying, but I get pissed. And then I'm like, how do I solve this? But that's it. You know, looking at what's the good part of it for when I have the conversation, what's in your control.
And what do you want to do when you're feeling out of control? How do you want to handle it? Right. Which is hard.
Yes.
I mean, he may not know yet. But what I find with kids is when we hold the vision for them of what we know they want, what their values are. You know, he wants to be have a great relationship with his sister or his brother or, you know, whomever, or his grandmother or whomever, because he loves family, right?
Right.
So you can hold that vision for him and affirm it. I know how important this is to you. And help him remember how important it is. And I know that sometimes when you get frustrated, it's hard to handle things the way you'd really want to. And that's what I want to be able to help you learn to do. So that it becomes his agenda, not you redirecting a behavior, but helping him manage something for his benefit because it's important to him.
Got it. I like that. That makes sense.
Yeah. So let's see. I just want to sort of see what's showing up for other people from this conversation you've had, and we'll circle back, Sherry, in a little bit and see what kind of takeaways you have as you process it a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
So what's showing up for other people, you know, based on that conversation and what we've talked about so far, what are you noticing or thinking about in terms of your own issues or family?
Well, this is Julie, and I think I hear a lot of similarities, you know, a 12-year-old boy, 10-year-old girl, and it does get physical sometimes, like last night it did, and but hearing you talking about how family is important to him, I've heard Logan say the same type of thing, how he wants to, family traditions are important to him, and how much he wants to see his cousins. And so I know that the love is there. And I think affirming that, like your idea is good, kind of reminding him of where he says he wants to be. This is where you say you want to be. So how can we support you in getting there?
And acknowledging that it's hard for him sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, he's not doing it because he doesn't like them or he's mean. He's doing it because he's struggling with management, because it's hard.
And in the moment, it's so hard to remember that he's not doing it because he's mean, because
yeah.
It just sometimes really comes across that way. And it's hard to – we need to stay in control of ourselves. And because he has such a hard time maintaining that control, we just have to stay in control for him.
Stay in control for him. What a great way to put it. That's a brilliant way to put
it. He can't do it. He can sometimes, you know, of course.
Right.
When the meds are off, then
and it's been a long day.
Exactly.
And he's disappointed and right, all of
yeah.
those pieces, right?
Yep.
So, I love that turn of phrase that we have to stay in control for him.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. So what's a good reminder for you? Can you think of a time when you were able to stay in control for him?
Not off the top.
Okay. It's all right if you can't. I'm just
yeah.
So I want to sort of give you a little homework assignment to think about a time or notice when you find yourself able to stay in control.
Okay.
When you want to get agitated and pay attention to what works for you.
Okay.
Right. Is it taking the deep breaths? Is there a message you tell yourself? Is there a rock you keep in your pocket that symbolizes he's a loving child? You know, some structure for yourself that you can use to what's the word I want to use? Catapult, trigger yourself back into calm.
Yeah.
Right. In coaching, we also talk about, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, the notion of a structure, something that's a reminder of something to love or remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a physical item, like, you know, a rock or a piece of jewelry or a picture we keep on our desktop or, you know, a note we leave for ourselves around the house. Those can all be sort of different structures that we use to help us remember, you know, often whether it's I want to stay calm or, you know,
right.
Or he's doing the best he can or, you know, whatever it is. And so sometimes when we find ourselves having a hard time not reacting to our kids' reactivity, some kind of a structure can be a really good way to sort of force ourselves to take that breath, to reclaim the brain before we take action.
Right.
Diane, I used to tease Diane because all her clients were walking around with water bottles with sippy tops, with sucky bottles.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. I have talked about it before. I just think I love the image of it. But drinking water can really calm you down. So, you know, taking a deep breath and picking up your water bottle can be what it is. I used to have a structure where I would spin my wedding rings. And it was actually not when I was frustrated with my kids. It was when I was frustrated with my husband. But truly, it was like I would spend my wedding rings to remind myself, no, this is my choice, and I made this commitment because this is who I want to be married to, even when it makes me crazy. Right.
Right.
And so that's what I would offer to you, Julie, is to look for some structure that you can use to sort of get you back into a place where you can reclaim your brain quickly.
Yeah, I have rings on my right hand that have each of my kids' names, and they're like intertwined or whatever. So I can.
There you go.
That's perfect.
Yep, there you go. I love it. And I'm a big believer in jewelry as a structure. So.
Yeah. Is Mark still on the call? Are you listening? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was gonna say stop talking about jewelry, please. I'm gonna start asking for more rings and stuff. Yeah.
Well, but wouldn't it be worth it, Mark, if it created a kind of peace in your home?
you know what I think would work? We've been in this house for 11 years, and we have probably 7 pictures on the walls throughout the whole house. So. We've been talking for a long time about going through the 30,000 pictures that are on the hard drive and putting up, you know, print them out, put them on the walls. You know, I think that's a good thing when you're getting upset is to look at a picture of a good time and remember the good time and, you know, kind of bring yourself down with that. Not bring yourself down, but bring yourself back.
So I hear Juliet may be spinning rings, and Mark, what I hear for you might be really helpful is to maybe it's enlisting one of your kids in the project with you, but to get
I wanted to do that with Parker during the holiday, but we just never got around to it. But it's on the list of things to do.
Great. Cool. Liz, what about you? I haven't heard from you a little bit. What are you thinking?
No, I'm listening to everything, and I think for me, like, just not reacting to, I think Dylan tries to do a lot of things just for, either attention or, you know, he pushes my buttons, and just not reacting for me is huge. I do have a lot, there are a lot of times where I do take deep breaths to calm myself down, And I think the whole idea about drinking water is fascinating. I had never heard that before.
Yeah. If you haven't heard it described, apparently physiologically, it's like the animals at the watering hole. Your brain, your amygdala, your primitive brain, sort of sends you the message that it's safe. There's water and it's safe.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool. Yeah.
So tell me how this conversation around tone of the home, and so part of this, we're all sort of focusing on our own reactivity, which I think is powerful and effective. How does this sort of bring back to this issue of sibling relationships and, you know, competition? What's the relationship between tone of the home and a competitive sibling dynamic?
So if maybe we stay calm, the calmer, you know, the kids feed off of our energy. So if we're setting a calm more and relaxed tone in our home, that, you know, the kids will not feel, I mean, they're not going to feel as much stress and as much, you know, need to seek out, like, negative attention, or I don't know. Seems like they would correlate.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Anybody else have a thought on that?
I'm thinking about the teamwork and the shared responsibility. If there's projects that you can, or chores that the kids can do together in some way, or that they get rewarded in a special way if they do them together successfully without smacking each other. You know, that over time, that builds relationships, and us playing that game at night, it just builds. There's a calm that comes for everybody most of the time, and it's just time that's just devoted to just being together, and no TV, no phone, all that garbage.
Right.
So those are two things that I'm not sure if it's helped the game playing. I don't know if it's helped my kids in their sibling rivalry or not, but Mark and I feel we both enjoy that time, and I know they enjoy the time. So it could build to something.
Yeah. So a sense of team, a sense of spending time together. I love the idea of sort of getting them on a task together. And part of the expectation being, you know, working together as a team. And I think that's sort of what I'm pulling from some of this conversation is the remembering that there's always a conversation that we could be having with our kids about, sort of generally, about what we're trying to teach them without teaching them, right? When you say, I want you to learn this, I need you to know this, it's, you know, we need to have a talk, they turn off, right? But when we acknowledge what we know about them, their value, I know how important it is for you, how important family is for you. Or even to say, I wonder if you know how important family is for me. I love how wonderful it is when you guys are working together as a team and realize you're on the same page, right? Just sort of quiet acknowledgments of what's important and what that value is around connection and camaraderie. And I think that we can be more overt with those conversations than we tend to be. When my kids were younger, I used to really very specifically say, you know what, guys, we are on the same team, and we are each other's team. We've got to have each other's back. That's our job as a family. I wasn't directing them or redirecting them, but whenever there was an opportunity to acknowledge them for supporting each other, to say thank you for taking care of your sister, or, you know, did you guys run into each other at school, to sort of reinforce my value of how wonderful it is for them to support each other. And we forget that we assume things that are important, that our kids are black and white. They don't get it if we don't tell them. So it's okay to say, not I expect you two to get along, but I've been telling my kids since they were little, you guys, this is the longest relationship you're ever going to have in your whole life. You're going to know each other a lot. You're going to know each other well after we're gone.
That's true.
And it wasn't this that you better figure out how to work together. It was, you know, it's amazing. You guys are going to be there for each other for the rest of your lives. And sort of help them see the opportunity in it and the permanence in it. And the value.
That makes a lot of sense.
So what else? Anything else coming up for anyone on this tone of the home? We haven't really talked much about noise level. That came up a little bit.
Mark, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah. I often tell Julie that when I die on my tombstone, I want it to say, finally, some peace and quiet.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, it's just funny. The noise, it goes up, it goes down, it, you know, finally it gets quiet, and then all of a sudden it's loud. It's like, why? You know, Logan, especially, just walking around going, you know, it's like Dumb and Dumber when they were in the car and they say, you know what the most annoying sound in the world is, and then they just go, yeah. It's like, that's Logan. But just, you know, out of nowhere. It's like, dude, would you, you know, just stop making noise. And he'll stop for, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, and then he'll make a different noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he's doing it to be annoying. It's just he just makes noise. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
But does he know that it annoys you?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
it
just,
may
yeah,
be
he's
that
doing
he's doing. Maybe he may be doing it for that effect as well.
Well, he was doing something yesterday, and I said, you know, would you please stop that? You're annoying me. And he says, well, you do stuff that annoys me, and I let you do it. And I'm like, you let me do it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's absolutely right. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there are things that I do that. But when he asks me not to do something, I stop doing it.
Uh-huh.
If I'm annoying him. I mean, I'm not going to keep annoying him because then he's going to come back and say, well, you didn't stop when I asked, so, you know, I'm going to stop.
Okay.
He remembers that
do
stuff,
you,
and he'll try to use it.
Do you hear the second grade dynamic playing out?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
it's cute.
Yeah, but it's constant, you know, it's every day.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you know, we just went over this.
Yeah.
And I tell him, you know, I told him, you know, you're being annoying, it has a lot to do with the friends that you have or the friends that you don't have because, you know, you could meet somebody and you're starting to build a friendship and then all of a sudden you just become annoying and then now they don't want to play with you anymore. And, you know, he's sad that he doesn't have a lot of friends, but he, and I tell him, you know, that's probably part of the reason why is because your spontaneity and your you know, he just, things just come out of his mouth without thinking. You know, think about other people. And we had that discussion the other day, too, about, you know, you got to think about other people, which he does not do.
Well, so here's what I would offer to you, Mark, is that he's actually wired such that he's not yet developmentally able to start by thinking about other people. Right. His right now the impulsivity is ahead of the thinking through the impact of the action. Right. And he's got the added effect to now he knows if he annoys you, he gets a good rise out of you and that's entertaining and interesting. So you're actually feeding his need for stimulation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah,
but he forgets where it goes. It's like, you know,
Hold on for just a second, if you let me interrupt you for a second, okay? Because the conversation you're having is very theoretical, and he's a concrete thinker. And so he may not, developmentally, he may not be ready to understand the long-term broad implications of what you're trying to teach. But he could understand, okay, sometimes it's really fun to be annoying. You got 1 minute, I'll give you 60 seconds, and then done. Is that a fair deal? And then he begins to have some ability of how to control it instead of using it as a trigger to get you going, to rile you up.
Well, I don't think he does it to rile me up. I think the problem with Logan is he's very funny.
Yep.
And full of energy. And I love to laugh with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't learned how to stop.
Yeah, the limit.
Yeah. And I told him, you know, it's like, you know, there's a limit. You got to know your audience. When you start to become annoying, then it's just not fun anymore. And I want to have fun. I want to do fun things with you. I want to wrestle with you. And, you know, even that, you know, the wrestling and the play boxing or whatever, it's like he hits hard. I mean, he just winds up and hits. And I'm like, dude, mm-hmm. we're playing. Well, I'm not hitting you that hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you are hitting me that hard. You know, and he just doesn't get it.
So here's what I would offer is that the lessons, the messages are right on target to understand, okay, we're hitting a limit. That's a little too hard. What I want to challenge you to do is to communicate it to him with less, if you will, less judgment in the tone. Because there's something that I'm hearing that says, you shouldn't be doing this by now, right? You should know not to do this. And the truth is that he's doing it because he doesn't yet know. He hasn't yet learned that or hit that threshold. So to help him learn it without feeling wrong for it will shift his dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To be able to have a conversation when you're not in the middle of it to say, you know, I was thinking about it, and I know sometimes when we wrestle, there's a point where it's sort of getting over the top and we need to know when to stop. Can we come up with a code word that everybody can use to know when to stop? So that he's learning that it's normal, it's natural that he may go over the top or he may, his impulse may be too strong or whatever. But that's normal, and that we want to help him learn to manage it instead of feeling like he should have already learned to manage it. Does that twist make sense to you or resonate for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I think you've got the relationship with him where he can learn that. I mean, that's a perfect example of a great time for a code word. Like my family's a wrestling family. Mom sits and watches while everybody else wrestles. They all know mom does not wrestle. But we have a code word, basta, so that when somebody needs to tag out or done, if somebody calls basta, that's it. Everybody stops. Because otherwise they would have the tendency to go too far.
Right.
And so instead of saying, man, you're going too far, you've got to learn to stop going too far, we give them the capacity to communicate it in a non-judgmental way, which a code word does.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, he and Parker have a code word. And so whenever Parker says stop, he's supposed to stop. But he just keeps going.
I would try to encourage them to come up with a more fun code word.
Okay, because that, I'm like, come on, dude, that's like a clear code word, stop.
Yeah, but it's a little, it's too close to serious. Like our code word is rope. For that, it means I'm at the end of my rope.
Okay.
Right, but stop is sort of like saying stop, right?
Right.
It has, there's, play with them and say, okay, that code word's not working, let's try another one.
Yeah.
But again, to do it, don't assume that he should have learned it by now. Recognize, okay, this one's not working, let's try something out with something else without any judgment around it so that he can see it as an opportunity for self-mastery instead of seeing it as something else he hasn't done yet, right yet.
Sounds good.
And that's the shift. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up today with Final Four. So we've already sort of looked at a little bit of what's going on for each of you around here. What do you feel like you're taking away from today? What's your aha, and is there any commitment that you want to make from here? What are your takeaways?
Well, I like the code word thing, and maybe not being so serious when it's time to stop. Not making it sound so serious. I like that. That's a good idea.
Cool.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Liz. Okay.
Oh, I was going to say my takeaway is to I really like how you mentioned acknowledging that, you know, that just saying to the kids, I know you really care about family. I know you really want the best. So like acknowledging what they're feeling first, and then also the other thing was what saying. I'm losing it in my mind. I can't remember what it was.
That's okay.
I can't even think right now.
Well, if it comes back, let us know.
Yeah. Okay.
But acknowledging their feelings and sort of sharing it out loud for them.
Oh, no, now I remember what it was. It was saying, I like how you said we're a team. You know, we have to work as a team in this house. And I think hopefully, you know, that should get the kids more, you know, thinking like a team, that they shouldn't be against each other, but more like with each other,
mm-hmm.
on the same side. So.
Yep. And sometimes having kids gang up against parents can be really helpful in games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Cool.
This is Julie. I've got to go, but thanks for the call, as always.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here.
Okay.
Sherry, what about you?
I liked a lot. I liked the code word. I'm going to do that for my kids, and I want to talk to my husband about the tone of the home and have us, you know, think about that way you put it about, you know, what do you want their childhood when it comes to them remembering their childhood or the tone of home and thinking about that. I also like that Marcus is here because it gives me a husband-father perspective without, you know, all the baggage that comes with, you know, being married to the person giving it. And it's just funny to hear that thing about noise because my husband thinks the same thing. I mean, that's probably the one thing he'd like is his own, like, sealed room that he can hang out in that we can't even get to because he has his room where he watches his TV and the whole family just descends in there half the time and then it's loud and then he gets irritated. And I missed what you said you wanted on your tombstone. So I need to know that, Mark.
It's finally some peace and quiet.
Anyway, so those things. And then also having my kids pair off in games, like have them versus us. So I like a lot of today's conversation.
Cool.
I'm going to try to use it.
Awesome. All right, everybody, welcome to 2017. Go forth and create the tome of the home that you are looking for in your family. You guys are awesome and inspiring. And I hope that
before you go,
and sort of think about it. Go ahead, Mark.
When we met in Newport, Costa Mesa,
yep.
And we talked about doing something for the dads. I'm still up for that if you guys are thinking about doing that.
Thank you for the reminder. I have not done. It sort of dropped off the radar because we're about to go back into another Sunday school lunch. But I will mention it to Diane, and we'll see what we can. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
The challenge that we run into is the timing issue. Like if we did something for the dads, you know, no two dads are going to be available on the same day, more than likely.
Well, you have to guilt them into doing it. You know, it's for the children. You have to use guilt.
But I appreciate the reminder, and I'll brainstorm with Diane, and we'll see what we could come up with. It'd be really fun to see if we could get a dads group for PSS.
Yeah.
Even if it only met like once a month, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that's plenty. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Everybody have a great week or so. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.